Rice from the College of Public Health and Health Professions, University of Florida. Today I'll be presenting findings from a five-year population-based case control study we conducted on renal cell cancer that was directed by Dr. Nabiya Saul and funded by an American Cancer Society Research Scholar grant from 2002 to 2006. Kidney and renal pelvis cancers represent a relatively rare neoplasm, accounting for about 3.5% of all new cancer cases in the United States, based on NCI-SEER data. According to the American Cancer Society, over 50,000 incident cases are projected for this year. Of these, renal cell carcinoma accounts for approximately 85% of cases. Incident rates have doubled over the past 30 years, up to approximately 13 per 100,000 population. These increases, we've noticed, are greater among African Americans than whites. Little is known about the etiology of renal cell cancer. What we do know is that smoking increases risk with a summary odds ratio of about 1.3. Family history of renal cell cancer, dialysis, and certain genetic predispositions, von Hippel-Lindau disease. However, these genetic predispositions explain only 2% of renal cell cases, so we believe the etiology is largely environmental. The causes do remain unknown, although recent studies have implicated hypertension, diabetes, certain occupational and dietary factors, and, as we will see today, obesity. This is a secular trend in age-adjusted kidney and renal pelvis cancer incidence. So here we're lumping together renal pelvis and renal cell cancers. By race and gender, I'm showing you these increases from 1975 to 2004, just to show you the ethnic disparities. We can see that the increases have been highest among black men, from about 8 per 100,000 population to approximately 21 per 100,000 population, an increase of 13 per 100,000. Whereas the increases, while there have been increases among white Americans, they certainly have not been as pronounced as they have been among African Americans. So these secular increases in renal cell carcinoma do correspond with increases in the prevalence of obesity, which we define as a body mass index of greater or equal to 30. This prevalence has risen at a corresponding rate, has approximately doubled over the past 40 years, to what is now about 32% of the U.S. population, period prevalence 2001 to 2004. In terms of ethnic disparities, I will say that these increases have been highest among white Americans, about 150% increase among white men, and about 105% increase among white women. However, the period prevalences for 2001 to 2004 have been highest among African-American women at about 50%, as well as Hispanic women at about 40%. So when we look at this rise in the prevalence of obesity, we begin to wonder whether it may be related certainly to the rise in incidence of obesity-related diseases, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, certain cancers, and indeed renal cell cancer. Over the past 10 years, epidemiologic research on renal cell cancer has found a positive association between obesity and risk for RCC. This has been recognized by the International Agency for Research on Cancer in Lyon. A meta-analysis of over 20 case control studies, I believe, has found a summary relative risk for RCC of 1.07 per unit increase in BMI. So we do recognize a definite association between obesity when we measure it by BMI. These findings are largely limited to what we consider relative weight, which is an indirect indicator of body fat percentage or body fat composition, which we would believe to be the actual etiologic factor in cancer incidence. Findings on body fat distribution have also been limited to waist-to-hip ratio. There have been a few studies that have found, particularly among women, increases of approximately 2 to 3 times in risk for those with high waist-to-hip ratio, I believe approximately 0.8. So obesity may help explain these secular trends in RCC incidence. little is known regarding which aspects of obesity increase the risk or the mechanisms by which obesity contributes to RCC etiology. So we're trying to find the holes in the research and try to explain exactly why is obesity contributing to increases in RCC risk. We conducted a population-based case-control study in Florida to address these two understudied topics. First, the potential associations between renal cell cancer and various body composition factors that were both self-report and anthropometrically measured. First, we looked at body mass index by self-report at age 20, age 40, age 60, and based on maximum lifetime weight. We also measured weight in kilograms at time of interview. Also at time of interview, we took body fat composition, or body fat percentage, the percentage of weight, body weight that is fat. And we did this using bioelectrical impedance, foot-to-foot, using a Tanita scale. We also measured body fat distribution by the conventional waist-to-hip ratio, by measuring waist and hip circumference in centimeters. We also took skin fold thicknesses at four sites, at the abdomen, superiliac crest, triceps, and thigh, using a Holtane skin fold caliper. The second aim was to assess differences in the magnitude of RCC obesity associations between African Americans and whites. Our sampling methods are, our cases were identified as incident histologically confirmed cases of renal cell cancer through hospital records and the Florida Cancer Data System Registry. They were diagnosed between January 2000 and December 2004. We included both whites and African Americans 20 years of age or older. We did exclude, of course, tumors of the renal pelvis, or transitional cell carcinomas, cancers diagnosed in a transplant kidney, and those with out-of-state residents. We did identify some cases who resided in southern Georgia, because Gainesville is in North Florida, and a number of the patients who came to the hospitals, who were identified through hospital records, did reside in Brunswick and other parts of southern Georgia. The geographic area was about 20 different counties in North Florida and two counties in South Georgia. Our controls were identified from the general population using random digit dialing with no history of RCC. We also used random sampling of telephone lists that were specific to African American households to improve our accruement of African American controls. These controls were frequency matched to cases by age, gender, and race, and of course by virtue of the random digit dialing technique, by area code as well. Our data collection methods involved in-person interviews using a structured questionnaire. We took involved medical, occupational, and family histories. We measured lifetime smoking, beverage consumption, environmental tobacco smoke exposure. We also took weight at age 20, 40, 60, and the maximum lifetime weight. We collected a dietary profile using a food frequency questionnaire. And as I said before, we did take body composition measurements at the time of interview. We estimated relative risks by the odds ratio and 95% confidence intervals using unconditional logistic regression. Body mass index is measured by taking weight in kilograms divided by height in meters squared. And we estimated these odds ratios using the World Health Organization classifications, with a healthy BMI of approximately 18.5 to 25, overweight being 25 to 30, and obese BMI being 30 or greater. All of our adjusted models did control for age, gender, race, education, smoking and pack years, daily caloric intake, and daily fat intake, which we found also to be significantly different between cases and controls, with cases having higher daily fat intake. We test for trend employed the Wall chi-square statistic, which we computed for the continuous variables in all the adjusted models. So just to cover the study population, okay, I only have 1 minute left, so I'm going to go through this quickly. We had a significant t-test for mean age. Body mass index was significant at time of interview, increasing by 58% risk for obesity. Also, maximum lifetime BMI increased by about two times the risk for being obese compared with healthy BMI. Both trends were significant. Body fat composition was also significant when we looked at it in quartiles. We separated this by between women and men because there are, of course, different standards for women and men on healthy body fat composition. This increased risk among women by about two times. waist-to-hip ratio also increased risk among men by about 2 times. And we noticed when we stratified by ethnicity, this was the only measure that we found any significant results for African Americans, where the odds ratio was about 3.5 for having a waist-to-hip ratio of greater than 1. And this was on a dichotomous measure with a reference group being less than 1. By skin folds, we found men with an adjusted OR of 2.1, looking at the superiliac crest skin fold. Of course, practically all of the skin fold thickness measurements were higher, significantly higher in cases than controls. Briefly, we did find that obesity increased risk by 60% to 90%, whether we assessed it using present or maximum lifetime weight. We observed significant linear trends between body fat composition and renal cell risk for both genders. Central adiposity significantly doubled risk among men, which we believe points toward metabolic syndrome as a potential mechanism, and this is something we like to look at in future research. Metabolic syndrome is associated with central adiposity, which leads to insulin resistance, increases in insulin, and IGF-1, insulin growth factor. Insulin-like growth factor 1, which can promote cancer growth. And we believe central adiposity may contribute to greater risk among African Americans than whites. I would also like to acknowledge my co-authors on this study, Suzanne Dolwick-Grieb, Tariq Siddiqui from the University of Florida, and of course Nabiya Saul and Dan Benardot from GSU in Atlanta. Right. We were considering metabolic syndrome as a potential mechanism, which we will be considering that in a future study. Metabolic syndrome is defined by the, I believe, the National Program for Cholesterol Education by 5 different criteria. If a person has 3 out of those 5, then they are considered to have metabolic syndrome. One of those is abdominal obesity. There's also, of course, low HDL cholesterol, high blood pressure. I may be forgetting a few here. That's correct. And in any case, we do believe abdominal obesity may be etiologically related to renal cell cancer. We did measure triceps skin fold fat, for example, and that is the one site where we did not find any significant differences. When we combined abdominal and superiliac skin folds, that actually ended up being more significant than when we looked at either skin fold alone. We considered that a measure of core or central obesity overall. We did have data on comorbidities. We collected a medical history on approximately 30 different medical conditions. And some of the common medical risk factors that other researchers have found were pretty weak in our study. For example, high blood pressure or diabetes. We did not find any significant associations with those medical conditions.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.